Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship at Christ Church Uniting. It is a pleasure to be with one another today. I am Liz Levitt. I'm pastor of this congregation, and I just welcome you into this time and the spirit, into this community during our worship this morning. Now, some of us, I know, started out the day already doing church pretty early. We met this morning at Kailua Beach at exactly sunrise. Nice timing, Holy Spirit, for Sarah's baptism. And that was just such a wonderful time. And so great to just see the church gathered in that way. You know, I know it's really hard to be a church in this time. And it's just a really uncertain time. And it's hard when we can't see everybody, right? But I think it was a great witness and confirmation to me that we're still here, that we're joining virtually and physically and all sorts of other ways, and we're still standing together as one body. Now, I just want to say I understand there's a lot of anxiety right now about COVID and this explosion we're experiencing, and we just want you to know that we're still here. We still plan to make this as accessible as we can and encourage you to make the safest choice that you can for yourself and your family, and know that the church will still be connected to you and that we'll still be virtual, we'll still be here for those who make that choice. So just know we are together and present. So we're going to be wrapping up today. We've been talking a lot about travel as a spiritual discipline, and today we're going to talk about coming home a little bit. And so I just found this great poem, and I wanted to invite us into our time today and just maybe take a deep breath and be thinking about, with all the chaos, how can we be at home in this 1 hour together and in the presence of God? So this is A Prayer for Travelers by Angela Herrera. This is a prayer for all the travelers, for the ones who start out in beauty, who fall from grace, who step gingerly looking for the way back, and for those who are born into the margins, who travel from one liminal space to another, crossing boundaries in search of center. This is a prayer for the one whose births are a passing from darkness to darkness, who all their lives are drawn toward the light and keep moving. And for those whose journeys are a winding road that begins and ends in the same place, though only when the journey is completed do they finally know where they are. This is for all the travelers, young and old, aching and joyful, weary and full of life, the ones who are here and the ones who are not here. The ones who are like you, and they're all like you, and the ones who are different, for in some ways we each travel alone. This is a prayer for traveling mercies and sure-footedness, for clear vision and bread, and for your body and spirit, and for water, and for your safe arrival, and for everyone you see along the way. So I would say to that, amen. And as a symbol of our journeying together, I would light this candle to remind us that God has promised somehow to be in our midst as often as we gather around this good news that we've come to visit. And it is good, even in these difficult times, perhaps especially. We're going to light this, and we're going to be invited into our time of worship through music. So I'm going to invite Diane, Marion, and Kalua to just help us continue our time. But maybe say one more time, welcome.
Come from wilderness and wild.
Every time we get together, we just try to share a little bit of peace, something that we do believe has drawn us here. And so recently, it's been our practice to just give a sign of that either to each other or to just make it for ourselves, especially if we're joining from home and we're on our own. So I would just invite you now to make the sign of peace. If there's someone around you, catch their eye. If not, that's fine. Is the microphone not on? No, yes, it is. So we're going to say, the peace of Christ be with you. And you could say, and also with you. So catch someone's eye. The peace of Christ and also with you. So I'm going to invite, first I'm going to just take a break and see if the sound is working. Do we feel like we can hear me? Okay. I'm going to keep going then, but you know, you can decide. Or maybe if it's not that interesting, you could be like, just keep passing the peace. So I want to just invite the kids to come close to their screens. I know some of you are joining there at home and some here, so you can see me. And I want to tell you, so we've been talking about traveling. And I'm wondering, kids, if you ever travel. And if so, if you like coming home after you've traveled. Do you like coming home? Do you guys like that? What do you like about coming home after you travel? Sleeping in your own bed. That is the ticket, right? Well, one of you asked a very profound question this morning at the beach, and I had to take a little bit of time to think about it. Sometimes you stump me, and I have to take a little time to think about it. What is baptism? Why would we do that? That seems a little bit silly. Just go swimming in the ocean and say something's happening with church, right? And my thought is this. There is certain things that we need to feel in our bodies in addition to know in our minds, right? So we need to feel the feeling of being at home, right? Part of it, we need to feel the feeling of being in a comfortable, familiar place. That's why we like sleeping in our own bed, because it's something that is confirming in our bodies that we have come home. And God knows that, and Jesus knows that, and so Jesus left us a couple ways that we could feel the love of God that Jesus was all about in our bodies. Jesus said, I think you're going to need to remember that the love of God is deep and broad and covers you so completely. And so I think one way you could do that is submerge yourself in water and think about this is the love of God on every part of us. God, I think Jesus also said, hey, I think you're going to need to understand the love of God can fill you up and give you what you need. And so I want to offer you these things to eat and drink that you could understand that. So these are called sacraments. They're ways that we feel and know the presence and love of God even when we can't see it. So that's my answer today about what baptism is. And I'm glad, and I'm interested, I will look on the Facebook comments later to hear what you shared about what you like about coming home. And I'm glad for that. It's always nice to be able to return to home. So I just bless you for that and for enjoying that time. So I give you that blessing, and I think I'm going to turn it over for a little music, and then we'll come back for our scripture. So thanks, kids. Comes from the Gospel of John. This is the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 11. If there's any wine lovers out there, listen up. Try to hear and hear the Spirit's word to you at this time and to the church. Jesus is talking and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, and he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in God's love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. Holy wisdom, holy word. So we usually don't have confession during our time in this church, but I'm going to make one right now. I've found myself over the last few weeks being a little bit despondent. Do you guys ever get despondent? Only Lauren. Okay, all the rest of you are just very self-actualized. I don't know why, but I just found like recently the COVID situation has really got me down, right? I am feeling low, right? Like just when we thought things were getting back to normal, just when we thought we could move around the world with a little less anxiety, just when we thought we could do joyful things again, we sort of took a hard turn away from that course. And you know, thinking about homecoming today, I was thinking about, man, it really feels like we've been on this long and tiring journey, and we finally got back to our hometown, and we're in the cab, and we're driving toward our house, and all we can think about is sleeping in our own bed and eating in our own kitchen, and we see our house, and then the taxi cab just keeps going right on by. I mean, it really feels like that. No, I wanted to go back there. I wanted to go back home. I wanted to go back to normal. Where are we going? And I find that I'm disappointed. And actually, I find that I'm pretty angry a lot of the time. I don't know if you all ever get angry. Probably not. But I can admit that. I'm angry, right? And I think anger is okay. I think anger is a functional emotion. I love David White says, anger is the deepest form of compassion. For another, for the world, for the self, for a life, for the body, for all our ideals, all vulnerable and all possibly to be hurt. Anger is about what we wish to protect. And so I'm feeling that a lot recently. I feel like I'm angry on behalf of those people I know who are in fragile health and who now have to retreat into a further time of isolation and concern. I find that I'm angry on behalf of all my friends who are nurses and doctors who have spent the last 18 months on the front lines of a war and who now feel their contributions are being cruelly disregarded by those who are not taking this seriously. And I gotta say, I'm a little bit angry on behalf of our kids who have to live perpetually in this limbo and who cannot just do normal kid stuff without this perpetual vigilance that seems too great a burden for their young years. I am angry. And as typically happens when we are angry, I have been looking around for someone to blame. Anybody else looking around for someone to blame? No, you guys are so, this is amazing. Maybe you're just already reached enlightenment. So I have been just thinking, who is to blame for this? I'm so pissed off. And I have to tell you, in the dark of night, unvaccinated people have been an easy target of my fury. I don't know if any of you have felt that. I feel like here's a big group of people that are not only actually making it possible for these variants to be created, but then spreading them all around. And I felt like, man, I just cannot understand this. Like, I'm a pretty positive and I think a pretty empathetic person, and usually when someone has a really different thought or idea than me, I can kind of get with them on that. I can say, I see why you feel this way. In this circumstance, I just cannot. And that's hard for me. I especially can't understand how this idea comes from so many people and communities of faith that read the same Bible as me and sing the same hymns as me and yet come to a profoundly different conclusion. You know, because for me, getting vaccinated is sort of a natural outcome of my faith. And as just a little aside, in case this is useful to any of you, I'm going to make a very brief kind of Christian apology for vaccinations. How does that sound? And I would start by saying I very much think that bodily autonomy is part of our tradition. I think we are able to choose what we do with our own bodies. And I think the language of rights is important. But I think the language of the church is not the language of rights. It's the language of responsibilities. And sometimes I feel as though recently we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about democracy, but not duty. We want to talk about choice, but not the consequences of those choices. And in my experience, when you are shaped by the way of Jesus over a lifetime, you begin to see the world and the needs of your neighbors in the frame that we call the rule of love. What is the most loving thing? And for me, that's about protecting others. If it involves a small risk to my body, then I choose that. That's connected and consistent with Christian theology throughout history. And to any who would say that prayer is a better protection than a vaccine, I would say, we don't say that David should not have picked up his slingshot against Goliath, but prayed instead. We don't believe Gideon should have put down his trumpet and said a prayer when he was facing the Midianites, or that the boy who gave two fish at the feeding of 5,000 should have set them aside and said a prayer. God expects us to use all the tools that are available to us to bring well-being to ourselves and wholeness to our neighbors and to the world. And I think medicine is one such tool. And that it is foolish to put God to the test when God has given into our hands what we need to prevent tragedy. So that's my rant. And now you can see into my angry heart this month and week or whatever. And then, you know, I turn to the Gospel of John. You know, I'm always like, well, I got to find some good news in here. Can't just stop the sermon like I'm so angry. Well, good luck. And, you know, the first thing kind of got me, it's so repetitive, right? You're going to abide in me, and I abide in you, and I abide in my Father, and Father abides in me, and the love and the abides, abides, and share the love, because we're going to abide. I mean, it's just, come on, John. But maybe John knew that this was a message we might need to hear a few times before it really sank in about the abiding and the love part, right? And it actually reading it over and over throughout the week and thinking, what am I going to say about this? It has really started to do its work on me. And a question came to me. I hate this when the Spirit is like, here's a question, just saying. And the question that came to me reading this text was, is this anger that I have bearing any fruit? Now, I said, I think anger can be really productive in some circumstances, as long as it's expressed appropriately. It can be a sign of what's important to us. It can push us toward justice. It can clear our mind. But I have to say, when I put my own anger about the situation up against the test of that question, it didn't pass. It wasn't bearing any fruit. It wasn't spurring me to further action or helping me to understand something of myself. And I think if I'm honest about it, that what I was experiencing as anger was really just my own hurt and fatigue from this long season of uncertainty. And actually, then I realized that my anger actually betrayed a certain departure from the exact practice to which Jesus calls us in this section of the gospel, which is to see everything as being profoundly interconnected. Right? We are all branches of the same vine. Now, I think the pandemic, of course, has demonstrated that for us in certain ways. We share space, we share breath, we share resources, right? But in other ways, I think it has served to drive us even further apart from each other, and I had forgotten about that. It occurred to me that maybe we can't go home yet because we still have not integrated the lessons that this time has to teach us. You know, we still live in a system in which millions and millions of people don't have health care. And they don't trust that the care will have no cost to them, even if you tell them this will have no cost to you. We've set that up, and we're living with it now. We still live in a system in which millions and millions and millions of workers have no sick leave, can't afford to take time off to things like tending to their health, getting vaccines. And we still live in a system that is characterized by massive economic inequality. It's getting wider all the time, the gap. And research shows that 77% of unvaccinated people live in households making less than $75,000 a year. And so as much as this is a problem of religious ideology, political identity, and false information, we have to confront that it's also a problem about equity. It is. It is a problem about equity. And I had forgotten that. Sometimes you forget things when you get really angry. I had forgotten that. I had forgotten to have compassion for that. I'd forgotten for a moment how to ask why it is that so many of my neighbors don't trust a medical system that may have mistreated them in the past. I'd forgotten to ask why it is that so many of my neighbors are just predisposed to living in fear rather than in confidence. You know, and this passage from John got me back to an original question, which I think is probably the most important question, which is, what does love require? What does love require? Have you ever thought about that? What does love require? Now, perhaps you're sitting here listening, you're like, I'm not angry at the vaccine people. I don't know what you're talking about. This whole thing isn't speaking to me. That's fine. But surely there are other places in your life where your connection to other people in a personal setting or a professional setting demands that you answer the difficult question of what does love require? What does love require us to do for ourselves? What does love require us to do for our neighbors and for our kids and for our church and for our country and for the earth, right? I think that's the question that is answered by Jesus' life and presented to us when we enter a journey of discipleship. What does love require? And some people would say that the answer is pretty easy, but I've never found that to be so. I think that question leads us into complexities and conflicts and various layers that challenge our minds and stretch our spirits. I think sometimes the answers aren't immediately clear. But I think asking the question at the outset grounds us in the task of abiding in God, right? Which is what Jesus asks us to do. What should we do, Jesus? Abide in me. Live in me, dwell with me, invite me into your hearts, root yourselves in me, and I will give you whatever you need. And maybe that's the only other thing we can do now, is to ground ourselves down, right, in prayer and in reflection. Ground ourselves in the assurance that we abide with God, and that because of that, we are actually always at home, even if we find ourselves in a place that is unfamiliar. I just want to give you some encouragement that if you are at a place in your life where you don't know or can't figure out what love requires, or if you're in a place where the future seems uncertain, if you're in a place where it seems like love is asking more of you than you think you can give, if you're not ready to move to curiosity or compassion, that is okay. God will sit with you in your despair as God has sat with me in mine so many times. But be prepared that when you're ready and when the time is right, God may offer you a question that might sit on your hearts. God may ask you something like, do you remember that you are part of a living vine? God might ask you, can you remember that you are not alone? And that the very thing that makes this whole human experience more difficult is actually also the very thing that makes it possible to be redeemed. And that is that we are all connected and that we are all one. God might ask, can you remember that you are nourished by the very God that created all that is? Can you believe that you are redeemed by the God incarnate in Jesus, who understood the trials of this human life and who knew much of disease and despair, and who ultimately chose to give himself up, finding that this world was worthy of love, and wanting to show us that so much, stretched out his arms and said, abide in me. Do this for one another. Friends, I think God is with us in these difficult moments, that God will be with us in the days ahead, and that if we can root ourselves into that and abide in God, then we can find hope for a way forward. We can find justice for our neighbors, and we can find encouragement for our own journey. So I offer you that confession and that invitation that you might take them and that the Spirit might do what it wishes in your hearts this week. So I offer those words in the name of God, who created, redeemed, and sustained us always. Amen. So one metaphor is abiding in God. Another one is basking in the light of God. And I think we could use some uplift now. And I know that our musicians are going to bring that to us and remind us that however hard our journey is, we march in God's light as we go along. So please, let's turn it over to a time of music. Wonderful. excuse me. We move now into a time of prayer where we lift up joys and concerns that are in our community, in our lives, in the world, and we just ask that God's Spirit might be present in them. If you're joining us virtually, you have the benefit of being able to type in your prayer requests. We'll capture those and circulate them so we can all be praying throughout the week. I have a number of them here that I'm aware of, so I'm just going to share those with you. We have a couple prayer requests. We're praying with Paul and Melissa Belanger for a few people. One is Kristen's friend Imani, whose grandmother has died of COVID in Los Angeles and who has several family members that are now ill. We also pray with brother-in-law David's sister Beth, who is in Rochester, New York, in the hospital with sepsis, and so we ask for her speedy recovery. And we are just sending prayers of encouragement to Paul Belanger specifically that he receives good news at his one-year oncology checkup. And so we just hope that is a positive time. We pray today with Kalua, whose daughter Mamo has given birth to her son and has had some complications. And so we just really pray for Mamo's strength and her healing and also for baby and just baby's well-being and the care that they're getting. We celebrate that Ari is off oxygen now, your daughter-in-law, and so we just continue to surround your family with prayers of healing. We pray with Marisha Palma Elmore for a friend Leanne who's hospitalized at Straub with pneumonia, has two kids, and so just pray for her quick recovery, ability to return to them. Lorna Song, one of our sisters from First Christian Church, asked that we might pray for her in her struggle with anxiety and depression and for God's reassuring presence with her as she faces changes and uncertain times. We pray with the McCraner family. Some of you knew Brian and Laura and their kids when they were here. It's been a few years now. Brian went off into a ministry and then a chaplain with the Navy. He is now getting deployed on a ship for the next 6 to 9 months. And so we just pray for him in this experience, and certainly for their family who are in process of moving to Ohio, where they will be sort of sheltering during that time. And so we just pray for them as they undertake this change. We pray with Charlene and Rollo for their friend Bonnie, who also sick with COVID, fully vaccinated but really suffering. And so we just ask that she might be made well. We pray with Ron for Tim and Eileen, who have really been struggling. And so we just ask for their continued recovery. And with Lauren, we pray for her and for the broader group of people we know as educators, specifically for the Punahou community facing an opening chapel and just some uncertainty, and all the families that are sending kids back to school and not sure of what will face them there. So we think about Lauren and your community, and we think about other teachers in our midst. And all those things are on our hearts, along with many other things. And so let's just take a deep breath. That seems like a lot. That seems like a heavy burden. But this is the place we're invited to bring it. And so we take a deep breath. And we enter into a spirit of prayer meditation. And we pray with assurance, saying, "Sojourning God, we know that your spirit exists everywhere, on every path. And we ask that particularly in this difficult time, you might invite us to move with curiosity and compassion toward each other. You might open us to the depths of our connection, even when our difference seems profound. God, we ask that you might show us our shared humanity, that we will know what others love and see that we love the same, that we will share the burdens of love as you have done. God, the road, we know, is not always easy. We have named people today who desperately need your healing in their bodies and their spirits and their relationships. And we ask your spirit of wholeness and peace to be at work in all these places, those that we've named aloud and those that remain in the silence of our hearts. We know that you receive them all and that you dwell with us in our longing to have you respond. We know of that because of the way that you were present in the person of Jesus. And so as often as we come to you in prayer, whether it is in elated joy or profound heartache, we seal our prayers in his name, understanding that it is through him that we come into your presence. It is through him that we find a way beyond death and into life. And so we pray in the name of Jesus. And we close our prayers together using words that he gave to us as a gift, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You know, I've had to say over these many years, you disciples have really gotten to me. Immersion baptism and the practice of coming to this table every time we come into worship, to come around in an act of sharing, in an act of nourishing, of acknowledging that sometimes things need to be broken before they can be made whole in a different way. And I'm grateful for that practice, and I'm grateful that we can do it here. I'm grateful that this church extends an open welcome. Anybody who needs to feel God's love, enter them. Anybody who has hungers and thirsts that they bring to this time, whether they can name them aloud or not, you are welcome here. And we hope that through these things, you can sense God's love. We believe that God's grace can be present here in a special way. And so I would invite you to take whatever you have. If you're at home, that's a morsel and a sip. If you're here, these funny little cups are going to be with us for a while longer. I think we can settle in. But just take what you have and know that God can be present in all these things. And know that while we talk of it so often that it becomes commonplace to us, it was a dark time when Jesus shared this meal with his friends. It was the night that he knew he would be arrested, that he sat around with them and shared a meal and shared stories of their people's history of liberation. And that at that meal, he took this loaf and he blessed it and broke it. He said, "This is my body and I am giving it to you." He said, "Do this in order to remember me." It's in the same way after supper that we took a cup, poured it out, gave it to them, said, "This cup represents a new way to be in relationship with God that's made possible by my life and my death. And so drink this, all of you, and in this way remember me." And you know, we take these things, these everyday things, and we ask that they might be imbued with God's Spirit, that we might come to know God's grace through them, and that we might come to share God's grace with them. And so I want to invite you to be joining in this feast today, a feast that predicts a final feast at which all will be present and welcomed and well. So as you take your morsel, remember this is the bread of life given to you as a gift, and this is a cup of blessing poured out for you. We are grateful for the way God nourishes us in body and spirit here and ask that it might transform and strengthen us for the journey ahead. So we give thanks and we say amen in the name of that which is holy to us, to me that is Jesus the Christ. So friends, it's a little heavy. We have a lot in our hearts, I can tell. I don't know if any of you have been watching the Olympics. I like summer. I like winter. I like the ski jump. I think that's a good metaphor sometimes for a really heavy, 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 heavy thing. Then you just give a little bit of upshot at the end, right? Woohoo! So I want to do something a little uplifting, and I want to ask Sarah to come up here if she's willing. Sarah, can you come up here? So this morning, we got to baptize Sarah in the ocean. See, you disciples, you're really getting to me. And we got to affirm that God loves you and that this church welcomes you and this church is so grateful for you to be a part of it. And so I asked you some questions and you said yes to all of those, so no going back now, but I have one more question for you that I wanted to ask just in this setting. And for those of you that weren't able to be there with us this morning, this is how you can kind of participate in this special moment. And this is a question we usually ask people as they become members of the congregation, so I'm going to ask it to you. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation? Will you share in its worship and work through your prayer and gifts, study and service, and so fulfill your calling to follow the way of Jesus? If so, say, "I will with God's help." And you all now have a part. Luckily, I'll also tell you the answer. Do you agree to pray for Sarah, to encourage her, to respect her contributions, and help her so much as you are able to grow in faith as a disciple of Jesus? Is so, you could say, enthusiastically, if you will, "We do."
We do.
I want to see some people type "we do" in the comments too. So just as an affirmation, Sarah, there is one Lord and one faith, one baptism, and by one Spirit we are made one body. And so we are all children of God, mother and father of us all, and we welcome you into this community of faith. We are so glad you are here. And as always, we give you a very coveted and special gift, so that you can demonstrate your profound love for this community all throughout the world and mostly at the grocery store. We want to just give you this as a gift for this special day. And let's celebrate Sarah a little bit. Yes. And we bless you, and we are glad you're here. And we are on the road together. I think that's the main message, right? That baptism is about being on the journey together and finding a community that we can be with. And so we join together in those things. I think we're going to just take a moment. Sarah is a great example of how do we respond to the good news of God in our lives. We join together. We make commitments to each other. Thanks, Sarah, for doing that. We're just going to take a moment to all be thinking about what that is for us, whether that's participation, service, caretaking, acts to the financial gifts to the ministry. Let's just be in discernment about that while we hear the doxology. Time when we share some announcements about what's happening in the life of our community. And you know, we are in a very uncertain time, so we ask for your grace as we tell you what we think is going to happen, and understanding that sometimes plans change, our main goal is to just keep people safe. And so here are some things that we anticipate happening in the upcoming weeks. This Friday, Vespers on the Lanai with Megan Bledsoe Ward. She's a harpist, so she will be coming to bless us with that music on Friday. If you want to be part of our physical audience, please email Melody and let her know that. But we will also be live streaming it. We know a lot of folks are going to be choosing to stay home, and that's fine. We hope that you will enjoy it then or after the fact, but please somehow tune into that. The Arts and Crafts group is going to be meeting again on Saturday the 21st from 10 to 11. That's just a time where you bring whatever creative project is on your heart, and we'll do it together while we kind of chat outside. We're sitting distance, really wonderful time, so Rachel will be organizing that. We'll also be having a goodbye summer tailgate party in the parking lot on August 29th, and that will most likely be sort of an each household bringing their own bento, picnic, something, so we will not be sharing a ton of food, but we will be out there sharing some fellowship as we wander around, but we just want to have that opportunity for people to be in fellowship. And I also want to note flowers from Diane Brookins today, niece Miranda's birthday on August 12th and mom's birthday on August 13th. So we think about your niece and we remember Gail, and we are with you in that. So thanks for gracing us with those. That is all I have. I'm feeling that feeling every week. I'm like, I definitely forgot something. Oh, cleanup day is happening the Saturday after the 21st, which is the 28th. The Beth is going to organize a little campus cleanup. We'll be doing some painting projects, cleaning projects, maybe some landscaping projects. So if you just want to put that on your radar, I think it'll start 8:30, and you can come and go as you wish. Bring your own tools, bring your own Gatorade, whatever it is. But that's usually a really fun time, a ruse to have fellowship and also to get the grounds cleaned up. So that's all that's on my mind, and nobody's waving at me. Yes? Okay. Glorious pictures on our face. We are social media in real time. I mean, that's pretty impressive, for the church tends to be kind of analog. So go on there and look at some wonderful pictures from this morning, especially if you weren't able to be there with us, and say hi to Sarah. And I think we are going to close. And it is my impression that here on this day we're talking about sort of homecoming, that we will be closing with a video. This is Courtney and Carol, who weren't able to be with us right now, but who have submitted this hula that we might enjoy as our closing time. So let's turn it over to Courtney and Carol.
Brush the tears from your eyes.
we do send you out with aloha. And we do anticipate the next time that we'll get to meet again. Next week we will be here. A lot of things in between. Keep in touch. But for now, it's time for me to send you off with my blessing. And as I always say, life is short. And we do not have long to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And may the divine mystery surpasses all our understanding, but who made us and who loves us and who travels with us, may that God bless us and keep us always in peace. Amen.